It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome to Bear and Balance. I'm Jeff Berkus, a writer for Windy City Gridiron, and I'm joined by the editor of that fine website, Lester A. Wiltfong Jr. Lester, the Bears win back-to-back victories. One more, it's a winning streak. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, I mean, I don't think any of our crew picked the Bears to pull off the upset. But there were some national pundits that kind of felt the Bears had a chance. And I mean, if you look at the way the Bears have been playing, I mean, yeah, of course they had a chance. I thought it would be a close game, but I'm okay with it. I mean, you know, unlike some fans that are hoping for draft pick, I'm cheering for my team to win each week. And I thought that was a good win for the franchise.
Well, I'm certainly hoping for a draft pick, but for a different draft pick, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. I got a little bit going on there. I didn't necessarily have the Bears pulling off that victory, but I did have some DJ Moore prop bets and two of them hit, but I could have gone for like one more catch, DJ, one more catch for like 5 or 6 yards and I would have cashed them all. But we don't start with receivers or quarterbacks on this show. We start in the trenches. So trench tribute, let's start off with that. Who did you have that you wanted to talk about today?
You know, I figure I'll leave the layup for you, and I'm going to go a little unconventional here. And he only played 18 snaps, but Mercedes Lewis, who is essentially your sixth O lineman. We had a chat, you know, over the weekend with Taylor Dowell. She was asking how come the Bears don't pull out the sixth O lineman very often, and I think it was Bill Zimmerman mentioned, hey, that's Lewis. And I'm like, that is Lewis. That's his role on the team. And, you know, he only played 18 snaps, but when he was in there, his run blocking, like always, is good. He's good in pass pro. And this week he had a nice little 4 yard catch and run from a flip by Justin Fields. So I got to hand it to Mercedes Lewis, the Bears tight end / sixth O lineman.
Did not necessarily look fleet of foot with the ball in his hand. A little bit of a rumbler, right? It was a run that I think Keith Traylor would be proud of. I mean, he has been faster in his career. I'll just put it that way. But he is definitely playing a nice role on this team. And a little bit outside the box. I like that. But you know, on the border of the box, right? Would be technically true. I don't. Who's your layup?
I thought she would probably go with Sweat.
Okay. So yes, I had two guess. Guys written down. Montez Sweat was one of them. I was thinking about Montez Sweat's year, right? So you start off the year on the Commanders and you know, you're having a pretty good year. And then all of a sudden the trade deadline comes up and you think you're going to go home. Like you think you're going to get traded to your hometown team, the Falcons. They've already got like a contract established of what they're going to give you. Like you're pretty excited, right? And then Ryan Poles comes over the top. Chicago gets him. And like his initial reaction was a little disappointment, right? Yeah. Like he was a little disappointed because I think he was really excited to go home and play for the Falcons. Poles gets the job done, gets a contract extension. Obviously that's going to make anybody happy when you have life-changing money that you sign your name to. And then he comes in and really takes this defense to the level that we've seen here over the last few weeks. And I went back and I was like, you know, the Commanders are having a bad year. Like they're not a very good football team. They've only won 4 games. The Bears not really having a very good year either. They've only won 5 games. What about Montez Sweat? Like what's his record this year? And he has been a part of 6 victories. His record is 6-7. So he's doing better than either team. And you look at the Bears record before the trade and the Commanders record after the trade, and it's atrocious. So I feel like Montez Sweat might be like one of the best players in the league if you look at it that way. Like he is elevating
teams. Settle down there. There's some analytic guys out there that really think the Bears trade was bad.
This is analytics. Down. Right? Yeah. These are numbers.
Yes, exactly.
These are numbers, my friend. So he's worth, you know, extra wins above replacement here. This is a guy that might be, you know, in the defensive player of the year conversation with how good how big of a positive impact he's had. So I wanted to just throw that out there that like he really has had a pretty good impact on this Bears team, but he leaves the Commanders and they're falling apart.
Yeah. Well, they also traded Chase Young, so that kind of hurt them a little bit.
I'm just trying to boil it down to make a point.
Sweat has been really good. I mean, I was critical of the trade when it happened too, because, you know, at the time, you know, we weren't sure if they were going to get him re-signed because of all the talk about him wanting to go back to Atlanta, play somewhere close to home. So that was on the table. You know, yeah, sure, the Bears had a franchise tag option they could have done had they not gotten him signed, but you got another tag you want to do with Jalen Johnson. So at the time, I was critical of the trade because of those reasons. You know, plus he's 27, which, you know, it's not old by any means, but you look at the timeline of the Bears. At the time, they were just atrocious. We thought, oh, my God, another rebuild for sure is coming. The roster hasn't come together yet, but he's kind of brought the roster together. He is that multiplier that they talked about him being. The whole defense has been outstanding since he's been in Chicago.
Absolutely. The other guy I wanted to mention was Darnell Wright. I thought he had a really nice game against the Lions' premier pass rusher, Aiden Hutchinson. Thought he really did a nice job against him in this game. And, you know, we talk about him every week, and maybe that's getting old to some people, but he's a top 10 pick. Like, I mean, this guy's like really good at football, and he's coming on early in his career. That's incredible. And you've got the t-shirt on for the bookend tackle. Both guys have been playing really good, and, you know, Braxton coming back and then playing solid as well. So that's an incredible, you know, development for this team, because now you feel going into the future, like you don't have to spend a premium pick again to shore up your tackles because you feel like you've got that figured out.
You know, that was one of the questions last week on our SB Nation Reacts poll, and 78% of Bears fans believe that Braxton Jones is done enough to show he's the left tackle of the future. So all those mock drafts that had the Bears going left tackle, you can throw those out the window. I think Braxton Jones has this locked down. He had, I think, 6 penalties in his first couple games, which is just atrocious. So I know people look at the grades. Pro Football Focus does their jobs and the grades. Those early games really brought his overall grade down. He's been penalized once since he came back from the injury. He hasn't been penalized, I don't think, in the last 3 games. He's playing good football. You know, he's improved in every aspect. So bookend tackles, Jones and Wright. It's set.
I love it.
Let's get the shirt from our guys.
Over at 500 level if you're interested.
500 level.
Promo code GridIron20. Haven't done it in a while. You know why we haven't done it in a while? Because the Bears haven't been winning football games, and it's hard to sell t-shirts when you have a bad football team. So, you know, if you guys are still interested in those, some of them are still live. They're fun. All right, we'll hit up Twitter. I'll start off here. I really like Brian Baldinger. He's got really great Twitter content. If you're not following him on Twitter, you should be. He's at BaldyNFL. And he said, hey, at Chicago Bears, at Justin Fields, all I want for Christmas is a pair of Justin Fields orange shoes. They are full of magic dust. Hashtag the Bears, hashtag Baldy's breakdowns. And he showed a little video, and it was that early play with Fields where he basically eludes Hutchinson twice in the pocket and scrambles out and just kind of takes off. It's like a 30-yard scramble. I mean, it was just an incredible piece of athleticism. And I think that like he does this so frequently that we need to step back every once in a while and be like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Like that for a quarterback, for most quarterbacks, if they could make a play like that, it would be on their like all-time highlight reel. And he's got dozens of them at this point where he's just doing this shifty stuff to really make defenders look silly. And I really liked the way that Baldinger phrased this here, was just like, you know, he's got magic in those shoes.
It was just he had like 2 or 3 of those where he just kind of was, you know, the pressure was there, got to him. He escaped. And, you know, I mean, that's just who he is. I mean, that's what he does. And, you know, it's, it's going to give the Bears a lot of a big discussion here. I mean, that's obviously what the fans are talking about, Justin Fields, and, you know, what's the plan? And, you know, it's going to be tough, man. But, you know, it's just keep stacking wins. You know, now they finally stacked one. Let's keep stacking wins and see what happens. And it'll all play out.
Stacking wins. All right. What about you? What do you got?
So Mark Grody, who is the Bears reporter for The Score, he is at Mark Grody Sports. He tweeted out that Bears cornerback Jalen Johnson was asked on the Park and Spiegel show how he'd feel if the Bears gave him the franchise tag. His response, money is still good. He also talked about it in that same interview that about resetting the market, how he said he wasn't looking to do that now. But now, the way his play has happened, which he has 4 picks now, he's been the top graded corner for Pro Football Focus pretty much the whole season. His numbers are outstanding. I think he may reset the market, but I think that tag's going to come into play. And like we talked about earlier, you know, with Sweat signed up, now the Bears have that tag. So I think they may have to use the franchise tag on Jalen Johnson if they can't get a long-term deal done.
Yeah, they might have to do that just to make sure that he doesn't go into free agency. And then maybe you buy yourself more time to try to sign a long-term extension. We've seen that happen throughout the league. The Bears haven't necessarily had a lot of those circumstances, but it may be their turn to do that. You know, you can criticize Ryan Poles if you want. We certainly have. It's not hindsight when you talk about it in the moment. Bears had 3 players that were potentially good targets to get an extension before the year. Cole Kmet did get an extension. Darnell Mooney and Jalen Johnson did not. We talked extensively about it. Jalen Johnson was the guy that we would have prioritized in those extension talks. Ryan Poles gave the money to Cole Kmet, who's played really well. Cole Kmet's had a fantastic year, right? You certainly had enough money to give a second extension out, but he chose to not do that. Gambled a little bit, right? Maybe he thought the guys that he drafted could replace and he wouldn't miss him, or maybe he was worried about the shoulder or whatever it is, right? The thing is, Jalen Johnson's really good at football. And if you want to continue seeing this defense play at the level that it is, Jalen Johnson needs to be out on the football field doing that. Now, I would like to see him maybe talk to Charles Tillman and say, what do you do when you get the ball in your hands? Like, what is it that you do? Because it doesn't seem quite as fluid. I know I mentioned that last time. It just doesn't seem quite as dynamic as it was when Peanut had the ball in his hand. But, you know, and he had the ball stripped out in this last game too. We got to put that away. You know, he got away with it. But
this is the first year he's got picks, so he's probably excited. He doesn't know what he's doing. Yeah.
What do I do with my hands? Well, back to football. That's what you should do.
2 hands on the ball.
Yeah. Again, like, you know, Poles gambled and probably lost on this one, which it is what it is. It happens. I think there are enough tools in the toolbox here to make sure that Jalen Johnson is the Chicago Bear next year. And hopefully there's enough money in the coffers to make sure that Jalen Johnson is a football player for the Chicago Bears for a very long time, because I think he's that good. You want him here.
Yep, for sure.
All right, let's do stats. Caught up in a numbers game. What do you got? Let you go first.
My number is 0 this week. Okay. That is the number of targets for DJ Moore in the first half of that football game. And 0 is also the number of the wins the Bears have when DJ Moore has 8 or fewer targets. They're 0-6 when DJ Moore is targeted 8 or fewer times. So that makes the Bears 5-2 when DJ Moore has 9 or more targets. So in other words, when the team is running their offense through their number one receiver, good things tend to happen. Feed DJ Moore.
Yeah, he had 10 targets in this one, right? Like,
finished good.
They did make a halftime adjustment there, so that's good. I can't believe that you go through an entire half of football and not target your number one receiver. But this is, you know, early on in the year, right? Like the Green Bay game, he really didn't get a lot of targets. Like, there have been times where they just lose sight of what this personnel should be directing them towards. And this is not a defense that necessarily can take him away, as you see in the second half. It's not a defense that can necessarily take him away. It's not like there was some sort of, oh, they're taking away DJ Moore, so we had to go somewhere else. Like, no, this was just Luke Getsy calling football plays that did not feature, you know, the best player that the Bears have. Yes, he got a couple of carries, which, you know, were fun and interesting, but that's not necessarily, well, the touchdown was fun and interesting.
The touchdown was fun. Yeah.
I don't know that I like the 4th-and-1 flip, but you know, maybe we'll get to that a little bit. But yeah, I like that number. I got a number that's in the opposite direction.
Okay.
Mine's 95% chance that the Carolina Panthers are going to end the football season, giving the Chicago Bears the number one overall pick. 95%, 19 out of 20 times that the rest of the season is simulated, they're saying Carolina's given that top pick to the Chicago Bears. We are so close. We are so close to clinching that number one pick. And I know a lot of people want to talk, well, I don't want to get rid of Justin. So, you know, there was some talk last, let's just talk about this here. There was talk last week. Adam Hogue said something to the effect of, I just hope the Panthers win some games so that they fall out of the top two and we can stop talking about this. Something, I'm paraphrasing, something to that effect. That's an insane take.
Yeah.
The Bears, you want your favorite football team to have as many assets and the most valuable assets that they can, regardless of what they're going to end up using them for. You want them to have more and better assets. If at the end of the year they decide that that pick is best used by trading down and accumulating more picks like they did last year, then that's a good thing. Number one is worth more than any other pick. If they choose to move on because they like the quarterback that you have and you trust Ryan Poles, then that is a potentially really big and good decision for this franchise as well. So this is huge. Like, and I don't know that there's anything like it where you traded out of the number one pick and then the next year you just got the number one pick again from the pick that you need from the team that you traded. I mean, I guess you could just be bad again, but making a trade like this and then getting the number one pick back, incredible, incredible. Little bit of lucky, right? Like, there's no way you could have seen this, you know, cascading around Frank Reich and David Tepper and everything that's happening in Carolina. But incredible trade, grabbing one of the most valuable pieces away from DJ Moore. We just talked about him, and just watching this thing implode.
Can you imagine if they didn't have DJ Moore part of this deal? Then I would imagine, you know, Bryce Young has a security blanket as a receiver.
Right.
He probably isn't as awful as he has been this year. I mean, they've had some issues, obviously, with that offense. But you put a number one receiver on that team, they're winning a couple games.
Yep.
So the fact that Poles took that away, I wonder if that went into his thinking. You know, I want to get, you know, your best offensive weapon. You know, I mean, the Bears needed one for sure. But I wonder if that also was part of the thinking was, you know, let me go ahead and take your best guy, leave your offense even crappier than it is, and you're going to give us that number one pick.
Yeah, and we've talked about this a couple of times. I just want to, like, I saw some back and forth on Twitter, like, no, that it was always DJ Moore. Poles was only going to take DJ Moore. And then, like, from the Panthers, like, no, it was always DJ. Like, BS. There were three offers on the table. There, like, one of them had Brian Burns, one of them had Brown, one of them had DJ Moore, and Poles got to pick. Like, there was negotiations on all these. Like, there's no way that they only talked about DJ Moore. No way, right? And so I just think that Poles made the right choice. I think that's really what it comes down to. But when you know, it sounds a lot better to the player, to DJ Moore, like, hey man, you were it. Like, we weren't even talking about anybody else. We wanted you. That's better for the Bears to tell DJ Moore. And then on the flip of that, if you're the Carolina Panthers and Brian Burns is sitting there and like, hey man, no. Like, we weren't even going to consider that. Like, that wasn't even, no way were we going to trade you. Right. So, behind closed doors, I can guarantee you there was three different offers, but anyway.
It's all part of the negotiation. You know, I mean, if you're going after him, I mean, I'm sure, you know, Ryan Pulse, he may have had DJ Moore as his number one guy. That could have been what he wanted, but
right.
But there's other guys talked about, you know, and you know, there was a couple reports like I said to talk about three. There may have been more than three. There may have been other guys that tried to put in there as a sweetener to kind of, you know, keep their guy. But outstanding trade. And what the Bears got for that number one pick, if he moves this number one pick, it's going to blow that away.
Could be even more.
Yeah.
Is that the prospects are rated higher. And that's how that works, right? I mean, like, that's, these guys are really well sought after. And just look around the league and see all of the different names that you see at starting quarterback this weekend. It's there's guys I don't even know who they are. Like, I thought it was a typo. on one of them. I was like, I don't know who is that. I don't even know who that is. Like we are starting quarterbacks that like DeVito, like, you know, you kept calling him Danny DeVito,
yeah,
right? Like, I mean, we don't even know the guy's first names. Like,
Nick Mullins just got the job from the,
I mean, come on,
from the Vikings,
you know,
and
of course, you know, Nick Mullins.
I mean, Joe Flacco, the
Joe Flacco's back.
38-year-old Joe Flacco is back. He's starting for the Browns now. So yeah, there's some odd quarterback choices where teams are going to want to move up if the Bears decide that it's Fields their guy. If that's what they decide to do, they're going to get a haul for number one overall.
Absolutely. All right. Well, let's talk about the guy that they're going to have to decide on here. And that's Justin Fields. And our Fields report, 19 of 33, 223 yards, one touchdown, which was kind of incredible. No interceptions. Awesome. Three sacks for 29 yards, which, you know, for Fields is kind of an okay day. 12 runs for 58 yards and a touchdown. So filled up the stat sheet pretty much everywhere, with the exception of interceptions, which is where you do not want him to fill up the stat sheet. Overall, like a good game, right? Like this was a good game, limited the turnovers, you know, a couple of like nice throws, a couple of creative moments, right? Like where he's breaking out and he's getting some of those big runs. But did this wow you? Was this one of these like, oh yeah, he's turned a corner? Or was this like this was good?
It was a good game. I mean, he missed a couple layups, and he even talked about it, that there's some plays he'd like to have back. And, you know, a couple of out routes, I think two might have been to Darnell Mooney. I think there might have been one to, I forget who it was. But, yeah, there were some plays that if he hits those layups, you know, this is even a bigger win for the Bears. And, you know, but the plays he did make, like you said, you know, the fourth down play to DJ Moore, you know, beautiful shot. You know, the touchdown run was outstanding, and he had a couple of scrambles early. We talked about just he does some outstanding stuff, and you look at his spray chart. You know, his against the Vikings, it was ridiculous. All those it's like, what are we doing here? This is a little more accustomed what Justin Fields wants to do. He pushed the ball downfield a couple times. You know, he didn't do a lot. I mean, they were still kind of playing kind of, you know, close to the vest with some of their play calls, but overall, it was a good game. Is it enough to sway the franchise? Oh, that's it. I don't think one game, regardless, if even he would have had like 500 yards passing, I don't think one game sways this franchise. They're going to evaluate this up to the end. They're going to make all decisions possible. It may go beyond the season. You know, they may see what happens. Because like we said earlier, who knows? I mean, they may get blown away by an offer to go up to number one. You know, who knows what'll happen? And maybe they roll the dice and say, well, Fields has shown enough. But then that goes into, if you keep Fields, are you keeping Flus, you're keeping Getsy? You know, what are we doing here as a franchise? It's just a lot of questions have to be answered here the next few games.
Right. But you don't have to make those decisions yet. Nope. That's good. And, you know, if you're Justin Fields, you have a future in this league, whether or not it's not. Like that's, let me just say that. But you've got Cleveland, who had a pretty ferocious defense early on in the year. They have not been playing all that well lately. That's an interesting opportunity. You've got the Cardinals, who are not a very good football team, a little bit more competitive lately. You've got the Falcons, who I think their defense actually isn't too bad, but they're, you know, they're an interesting team, and they could be actually an interesting trade target for Justin Fields. If the Bears do choose to move him, and then you've got the Packers in the last week, there's some defenses there that you could take advantage of, and you could put up some numbers and really showcase what you're able to do there. So it'll be interesting to see what he does in the last month. Again, you have 2.5 years of information. You should be able to make a pretty good decision, but you don't have to make a final decision yet. So that's really what it comes down to. All right. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. Other side of this, we'll do everybody's favorite segment, the Three Bears. Stick with us.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, Lester, let's talk Three Bears, hot bowl of porridge, cold bowl of porridge, and Just Right. A few places to go. I'm going to let you kick us off with the hot bowl, and I imagine that there's an easy candidate here.
Yeah, I saved Montez Sweat for you on the Trench Tribute, so I'm going to take Jaquan Brisker here for the hot bowl. 17 tackles, you know, two pass defended, one forced fumble all over the field. The coach's tape, according to Flew, said they had him with 18 tackles. So maybe there'll be a change there at some point. But, yeah, he looked good. You know, he got dinged up a little bit early. And, of course, you know how Bears Twitter does. You know, they were all over it. Oh, here we go again. Brisker hurt again. It's like, come on. Give me a break here. He had a heck of a game. So who else are you going to go with but Brisker?
I think that's the obvious choice. I think he definitely gets it. And, you know, with this defense playing as well as it is, and they've played pretty well against Jared Goff. Now, again, a few weeks ago, they let that comeback happen. But, okay, overall, they've taken the ball away a lot from that Lions offense, which was playing good football coming in, you know, those games. And he had the best of that. For me, I figured that was the obvious one. So I'm just going to focus on the 4th and 13 touchdown.
Yeah.
So, you know, in the spirit of hot bowl of porridge, more than you expect, right? So the Bears line up on 4th and 13 to take a delay of game to punt the ball back to the Lions. This is a tie football game at this point. And some reason, somehow, Mr. All-Star himself, Aiden Hutchinson, jumps off sides. And so let's give Lucas Patrick some credit because centers don't always see it. Like you'll see guys jump off and the center just kind of doesn't do anything like that. That is the play. The play is if you see movement, snap it, but he does the smart thing. He snaps it, right? Like there's a little bit of risk there, you know, like if a guy like gets back or if a guy doesn't really, you know, they don't call it like that's on you. Like the center is going to get in some trouble. Right. So he sees it, he snaps it. So that's my first kudos is to him. Secondly is like everybody knowing what to do. And DJ Moore just takes off. I mean, what are we doing? We're letting DJ Moore. We're covering him one-on-one.
One-on-one.
What are we doing? And Fields just rips it. Right. He hits the strike. I mean, you could very easily not, it's a 5-yard penalty. So whatever, like there's nothing lost there. Right. But still at that point, when you see the flag and then it's a free play, he rips it and it's a touchdown. That was the game. I mean, that was the play of the game.
Yeah.
And it could be one of the best plays that we have seen in the Justin Fields era. I mean, relative to these like amazing touchdown runs and you know, some of the other great things that he's done. This was great. In a huge moment in a tie game where you were going to give it back, you were just going to take a delay of game so that you could have an easier punt and give the ball back and you get a touchdown out of it. That's a hot ball porridge.
Well, stuff like this, that clearly shows growth. I mean, that's growth from your offense, from your quarterback, you know, the fact the team, the Bears, you know, they didn't get conservative. I mean, that shows growth, you know, like the Bears jumped out with a lead and then they gave it up going to the halftime. And, you know, I'm like, oh, here we go again. You know, the Bears did it again. That's what we all assumed. And, you know, then they come out and, you know, they didn't. You know, they shut the Lions out in the second half. So, yeah, this team is growing. You know, it's like I said, they're going to give a lot of questions what you do with the quarterback, with the head coach, even with the offensive coordinator. You know, you got to figure what are they going to do. But, yeah, that was a nice play. And I don't know if you caught Braxton Jones talking about it in the locker room. I retweeted that earlier today. He was talking about him and Tevin Jenkins, you know, during that play, they were doing a lot of the stuff, you know, pre-snap. Okay, I got this guy. You got this guy. They're really selling it to the Lions that they were going to snap the ball. So you like to see when the whole team is on the same page, and it's kind of fun to see that they actually have grown as an offense.
That's when I think that they just laugh about together, like on the sidelines and in the locker room. Like, yeah, can you believe that just happened? Like, that's incredible. I mean, that is making chicken salad out of chicken feathers. Yes, not the way I learned that phrase. Incredible, incredible. Let's flip it around. Cold bowl of porridge. What do you got?
I'm going to go with defensive end Rasheem Green.
Who?
Exactly. He had 20 snaps, zero stats. He's kind of playing the role of Al-Qaeda Muhammad this year for the Bears. But it wasn't just that he had no stats. It was just he looked like he was kind of out of place in a few times. A few times he can was just kind of chasing guys around. He's just not the athlete. He doesn't have the juice to kind of make plays. And, you know, he's had a couple moments this year where you're like, okay, he's a nice veteran presence. He's fine. But ultimately, you want to have a little better upgrade there. So I'm starting to wonder, are they going to maybe go back to Dominique Robinson, who has been inactive here for the last month? As they go down the stretch, maybe they try and see if he can kind of take some of those reps and from Rasheem Green, because Green's not going to be on this team next year. He's probably for sure going to be gone as on a 1 year deal. So maybe Robinson will get a chance to play a handful of snaps here as the fourth edge.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have much to add to the guy that just looks invisible on the field. We should come up with an award. Where like the guy, the defensive player that just fills up plays but doesn't fill up the stat sheet. I don't know what that award's going to be called. It should actually just be called the Al-Kadeem Muhammad Award. But all right, for me, I've got just some random.
That's so mean spirited of you. I'm not used to that.
Well, he was bad.
He was bad.
I'm not. You know, generally, if they wear navy and orange, I'm going to cheer for them. But there's been a few guys over the years that, particularly guys that are signed from another team. Like if they're drafted, like I'm probably not ever going to like cheer against, like I'm not going to be negative to them. There's one exception that of a guy that I really didn't like that was drafted very early on, but it's like these free agents that come in or trades that come in that of players I don't like Nick Foles. I could never get behind that. Like that kind of stuff's garbage,
but you are never a fan of Foles.
No, I really, I never hit it either. Yeah. You know, so sometimes you got to just lean in. All right. So I've got some random stuff. So first half usage of DJ Moore in the passing game. That's a cold bowl of porridge. That goes to Luke Getsy for not dialing up number two. A cold bowl of porridge goes to Deontay Foreman trying to hurdle.
Oh, geez.
My guy, you are angry run guy. You are run them over. You are not hurdle guy. Okay. Yeah. Don't do that again. That's a cold bowl of porridge to that hurdle. And then we need to give a cold bowl of porridge out to Justin Fields trying to flip the ball away when he's going down. Something's going to happen there.
Yeah.
I don't know why that emerged in his game. I don't know where that came from. But I'm not about it. Like that needs to stop. That gets a cold bowl of porridge for me.
Yeah, I mean, he's trying to avoid the sack, which you're like, okay, that's good. You know, kudos to you for being aware that you want to get the ball out of your hands. But you know, we've talked about it. At some point, you know, when the play is essentially over, you're going down. You know, if it's not a clean way to get rid of it, that's just not that's not good. You know?
Cover it up. Go to the ground. Take it. Yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Just right. What do you got?
Just right. It's funny because I'm going through the tape and watching the game, right? And I have Rasheem Green with his 20 snaps, no stats. This guy played 31 snaps and also had zero stats in the whole game. But Andrew Billings, defensive tackle for the Bears, this guy, he's a presence on the field. He didn't get any tackles this week, but he gets pressure up the middle. He clogs up lanes. He commands double teams when it happens. I mean, the Bears, you know, they extended his contract a few weeks back because he's just been that dude for the Bears. And I got to go Andrew Billings. He's playing good football for the Chicago Bears, and he is definitely a part of this franchise going forward.
I agree. I mean, I really like Andrew Billings. I mean, just there's something about a giant human being trying to squeeze themselves into a football jersey like that just, you know, warms the heart of Bears fans, right? Like they're going back as far as, you know, Bridge, and I'm sure even further back, just like defensive tackles in Chicago. There's something about a guy that you think can eat like 15 Polish sausages that you're like, that's my guy. I like that guy, right? Yeah. Andrew Billings fits in that mold. Big mold, but he fits in that mold. I'm going to go Cole Kmet. We talked about him earlier. This is a 5-catch, 66-yard game, but had a giant 41-yard gainer. And then a couple of other just like tough catches, right? Pulled one down over Anzalone. Like just a nice, solid game from Cole Kmet. Didn't splash in the end zone, or this isn't like a end zone call out or anything like that. It's just a nice, solid game from the tight end.
He had that one catch where it was kind of on the shoulder and he went down. And if you notice, as soon as the play ended, he went to the huddle quickly. He's like, hey, let's get the ball. Let's get going quick. Because he wasn't sure if he caught it because it was such a weird play where he kind of fell to the ground. He did. He caught the ball. That they ended up the Lions threw a challenge flag. They were denied, and they lost their timeout, which is obviously good if you're in a close game. And, yeah, Cole Kmet. You know, there's some guys in our circle that are, they really have a hard time with Cole Kmet because and then this game, you had him doing good. You had Brisker doing good. You had Tremaine Edmonds doing good. All these guys that people that we talked to quite a bit are, all these guys stink. Oh, man, they're coming around and playing pretty good football. And so this must have been a tough game for some of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, we've told the story many times. When we went to camp, they're featuring Cole Kmet. Now, I don't know that you want to feature him, but as a secondary player, yeah, like he's a good football player. So
no more screens to Cole Kmet.
No more screens. Yeah. Get him moving, right? Get that body moving. You want the Bowser player moving. So Cole Kmet gets the just right for me. Anything that you want to talk about before we close out the podcast? Went through that a little faster than we normally do, but
We did. Nice.
Yeah, we kind of zoomed through. I think we're just excited.
We're happy. Yeah.
We're not dwelling on anything. So anything that you want to talk about before we get out of here?
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, like I said, the talk of Bears Nation now is, you know, has the team turned a corner? Is Eberflus back? I mean, we were pretty sure a few weeks back that Flus is definitely gone, but this was a signature win for him and for the team. And, you know, it's like, if Flus has done enough, and now there's still four games, and they could blow it again. But, you know, Browns, if you pull that off, that's an upset. Then you got a couple stinky teams. And then, of course, you got the Packers to finish off the season. So I can see, as much as I thought it was for sure going to be a change, now I'm starting to think that there's a chance that Flus stays. And if Flus stays, why would you draft a quarterback? Because that's the same thing you did with Fields. It's the same thing you did with Mitch. If you're not going to line them up, you may as well just run it all back.
It would be kind of amazing if that's what ends up happening, particularly where this team was at just a few weeks ago.
Yep.
I still don't believe in Eberflus as a head coach. Like I have not been changed and convinced otherwise. I still think that you need to take in everything that he's done, right? Yeah. We talked about, we got to evaluate everything Justin Fields. I think you have to take in everything in the Eberflus era. I understand that they were trying to be bad last year, but they underperformed that bad roster last year. I believe they've underperformed this roster. I know things
this year for sure. Yeah.
Better lately, but again, why did it take so long to spin up? Why were so many really bad decisions on display in September? And, you know, I don't know about you, but when I took a class in college, if I failed my first test, they didn't just throw it out at the end and then just calculate my grade based on the test that I took through the rest of the semester. They counted that one, right? So at some level, you have to count those four games that started the year. You have to count the collapse against Detroit. They have to count the collapse against the Broncos, right? Like these things all matter. The decisions that you made early on in the year to not feature your best players on offense, that you know, they're getting more creative on defense. They're doing the things that we've been asking them to do. Why did it take so long? Like these guys are still the same guys. Like there's talent that has been there the whole year. Yes, Montez Sweat's here, and I joked a little bit about him being defensive player of the year by elevating two different squads, but I mean, the reality is part of why the Bears have been improving is that they've been a lot more interesting in the looks that they've been giving opposing offenses. They've been playing more creative defense. Where the hell was that in September? Yeah. Like we were begging for that. Like they came out and played the most boring base coverages against the Packers and let Jordan Love carve them up, right? So I think all of that has to go into account, not to mention the two coaches that have been let go and all the other stuff that's happened. And so I'm just not convinced on Eberflus, but there's certainly a window of opportunity here that we couldn't have imagined a few weeks ago.
Such a weird season this whole season has been. I mean, we predicted playoffs for this team. You know, and if you go back and those, like you said, those two historic meltdowns don't happen, this team is squarely in the playoff race right now. And it's just been such a strange season for Bears fans. You know, we want Justin Fields to be the guy. he may prove to be the guy, but the Bears still may decide to move on just because of the finances and what's going on. But, you know, we kind of talked a little bit on the pre-show, you know, right before we hit live. And, you know, Flew still has this locker room, you know, but more importantly, so does Fields. You know, if you move on from Fields, that's going to hurt this locker room. So a lot of choices, man. Ryan Poles, you know, he's done a pretty good job here in year two, you know, but he's got a lot of tough decisions coming up here.
Yeah, we were talking about it before we hit on the YouTube. I'll just kind of set it a little bit up here, is that there was a video that came out from the locker room after the win against Minnesota, and the it was Flus talking, and it just felt like the energy in the locker room was like, yeah, like, you know, whatever. Like, it was fine. And then Fields got up and was like, hey man, I'm sorry about making that mistake. Thank you guys for picking me up. Like, and everybody was like, no, like, you're our dude. Like, like the energy just seemed to really rise up with Fields. Now, it's, you know, it's probably a little different, right? It's your coach versus your quarterback. But I think there's a lot of teams that like play for their head coach where they're really into it when the coach talks. And it didn't necessarily feel like that. But then when Fields talked, it was, everybody was in, right? So who has the team? Right. Yeah. Is it Flus or is it Fields? And if it's Fields more than Flus, or it could be both, could be, you know, whatever. But if you get rid of Fields, but you keep Flus, like, how does that feel for a lot of these guys? Are they're going to go along with that? You know, DJ Moore had the comments not that long ago that, like, wait, Justin's on the hot seat. Like, that's news to me. Like, what are you talking about? He's been playing pretty good. Like, what's that all about? Right. So, it's a really interesting and big decision that's coming up.
Yeah. At this point, I have no idea what's going to happen. I mean, I'm just enjoying my favorite football team win there a couple games in a row. So that's all I can do now. And it'll all play out when it plays out. And Carolina's given them that first overall pick. So they will have plenty of options.
Bears got a chance to go 500 in the division.
Oh man.
How about that?
Jeez. Never would have saw that.
All right. How about we end on that note? We'll get out of here. We will be back for next Monday, as we'll talk about the game against the Cleveland Browns. Those of you that are going to Cleveland, be nice. Till next week, bear down.